Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Welcome to the Investing in Real Estate podcast with Clayton Morris. This is the show where we focus on buy and hold real estate. Why do we do it? We do it for the purposes of creating passive income and legacy wealth for you and your family. If you're interested in finding your freedom number, come over to our website at morrisinvest.com/freedom and download your free financial freedom cheat sheet today. Houston flooding 2017. How to understand all of this if you're a real estate investor. That's today's show. Let's dive in. Hey everyone, I'm Clayton Morris, longtime real estate investor. I've rehabbed and renovated thousands of homes. And today on the Investing in Real Estate show, we're going to talk about Houston. We have to, right? It's the elephant in the room. It's the question that I've been getting all over the past week about all of the flooding and the hurricane damage that has hit the Houston metro area. So, as a real estate investor, and I know many of you probably have invested in Houston, it was a really popular investing area. I personally didn't own anything in Houston. Texas did not appeal to me because of the property taxes were higher, and I could a little bit more pricey on properties there than I'm comfortable paying for. But there's a lot of people that bought properties in Houston and the Dallas area and Austin. So people have certainly invested in Houston, and it was a growing area. It was the sixth largest metro area, 1.6 billion square feet of leasable land space. So tons and tons and tons of commercial space and growing and growing and growing residential space. In fact, we've been hearing over the past few years, I'm sure you've been hearing it in the news reports, that, wow, everyone's moving to Texas, right? Everyone's moving to Texas. It's an economy that has been growing because they have no state income tax. So businesses found it attractive, yet property taxes were higher. So as a real estate investor, it was, somewhat attractive. Also, it had some of the friendliest landlord laws in the country. If you've watched my videos on the Morris Invest YouTube channel, you know that I've done videos on the most landlord-friendly states, and Texas was number one. Indiana was like number two. Florida is right there as well. So Texas right up there with some real nice reasons to be an investor. But again, I personally was not an investor in the Houston area, but so many people were. So what happened here? Now let's examine this, and we'll talk about flood zones and flood insurance, and we'll kind of dive into some of that on today's show at a higher level. I've definitely done videos and interviews where we've dived deeper into all of the different flood zone designations. So if you want to go check that stuff out, please do. It's available right here on our channel. If you're a subscriber, just click on it and watch it for free so you can learn a little bit more about those flood zone designations from FEMA. Now, I will say, I as a reporter over the years, I've covered a lot of these floods, and specifically in West Virginia, and it is absolutely devastating. And some of the things that I've covered in West Virginia were those 100 year floods that are supposed to only happen once every 100 years. That means that more than 12 inches of rain falls in any given small, short period of time. Well, guess what? When I was in West Virginia, I saw two 100-year floods occur within like a year of each other. So rain rushing down the mountainsides and destroying entire valleys and homes and mobile home parks and everything else. It was really tragic. And I would watch these students who had their schools destroyed, their classrooms destroyed. And so you had students who were sixth graders had to go to school with third graders. And guess what? They then had to learn at a third grade level because you can't teach up, right? You can't teach third graders at a sixth grade level. So these sixth graders were forced to consolidate into these schools and were being forced to sort of relearn stuff they learned in third grade. I mean, talk about some wasted years of their youth because of these floods. I mean, that's the situation. And I'm telling you, that's exactly what we're now experiencing in Houston. So when we look at Houston versus other areas, what is different about Houston's flooding? And should you be concerned as a real estate investor if, for instance, you're investing in Indiana or Michigan or Florida or North Carolina or other places across the country? What is different? Well, I've interviewed a lot of experts on this particular topic over the past few weeks. I spoke, in fact, this morning I spoke to the general, Lieutenant General Simonite, who is the head. He is the head of the Army Corps of Engineers. He's the general on the ground. He's responsible for the reservoirs. He's responsible for building the levees. He's responsible for putting bills through Congress in order to get funding, in order to put in new infrastructure to protect these communities and these areas. So I've talked to some pretty high-level experts. I've also talked to some pretty talented meteorologists and explaining how all of this would unfold in these areas. And I specifically asked them the question, okay, if I'm a real estate investor, how is me investing in Indiana different than investing in Houston? That is to say, would I ever see a Hurricane Harvey-like rain situation in the Midwest versus what we saw in the Gulf of Mexico? And these meteorologists told me it is impossible. It is impossible. It is meteorologically impossible for that much moisture to ever hit that part of the country. Because the way in which Hurricane Harvey moved in, it pulled all of that warm moisture from the Gulf of Mexico, hitting Houston, and then stalling out and hanging over the Gulf of Mexico and continuing to just pull all of that moisture right out of the water and dumping it right on dry land. Also, what's different about Houston versus other areas of the country, and the reason Houston's been hit so hard over the past few years, they've had a series of floods over the past few years. There's nowhere for the water to go. The water, the soil in Houston area is a clay. It's like a thick clay. What does that mean? That means that when water hits it, it just kind of sits on top of it. It doesn't absorb it. Now, if you've ever been to Florida, and if you've ever been to Orlando or anything like that, and you've been to Disney World and you've watched one of those 3 p.m. rainstorms that always happen in Florida, they happen like right around 3 p.m. for like 25 minutes, and it'll be like a flood. You're like, holy smokes, all that water. It'll come and it like disappears. Why? Because it's sandy soil. So it absorbs right through the ground. That is totally different than what we saw in the Houston area, where it's a thick clay and there's nowhere for it to go. So it sits on top. And Houston can only handle 1 inch of rain. That's all they can handle. Any more than 1 inch of rain in the Houston area is almost considered flooding. So imagine they got 50 inches. They had a 1,000-year storm event, the most catastrophic event in U.S. history by all accounts. And when all of this is tallied up, the billions and billions, we're talking about right now as of this tally, about $170 billion in damage in the Houston area. And according to the New York Post this morning, one quarter, 25% of all of Houston's real estate got hit by Harvey. What does that mean? That means that even if 1 inch of water came into one of these properties, that is flood damage. And the whole house is going to have to be gutted, because any bit of this water that was filled with all kinds of toxic chemicals, we're talking gasoline, petroleum, arsenic, lead, you name it, it was in this water. And one drop of it, a little bit of it, 1 inch of it hitting any particular property, that means that that property now has to be gutted. All the drywall has to be yanked out of there down to the studs because of mold forming. All of those toxic chemicals need to be removed from the house. So piles and piles and piles of drywall sitting on the sides of roadways now. When I spoke to the general, he told me that that's their main concern right now. They're going to have billions of tons of debris that they're going to have to now move out of the Houston area. So one quarter of all Houston's real estate hit by this, an absolute devastation. Okay, what else is different Houston compared to other areas, and why it's really concerning? I mean, if you're in the Houston area, I just don't know how you I hate to say this, but I don't know how you rebuild. There are certain areas that have now had multiple floods in the past 3 to 4 years. On the Wall Street Journal, I read a piece yesterday talking about how one family literally just finished renovations from the last flood a year ago in Houston, and now their house has been totally destroyed a third time. I don't know how you continue to rebuild in that spot because they're not really even meant to have houses in certain areas. Now, I spoke to the general and I asked him, what's the difference between Houston versus Florida? And why do we not see this kind of low-level flooding in Florida that we do see in Houston? And he also said that Houston has 70-year-old infrastructure for trying to prevent storms. They don't have the storm doors that Florida does. So Florida has invested billions of dollars into these storm doors that regulate water coming into these communities, and they're able to keep it out. They're able to keep it out and keep low-lying areas from getting flooded. They've invested in these storm doors. We've also invested in that in New Jersey after Hurricane or Superstorm Sandy. The same infrastructure was now built into this area. So I said, well, is Houston going to get this? Are we going to see this and then build this? And he said, the problem is we can't. The problem is that more and more A-class neighborhoods, you know, the rich neighborhoods, pushed up closer and closer to the water areas where under FEMA designation, we would build these walls. We would otherwise normally build these giant storm doors that would basically keep the water out of Houston. But because so many homeowners wanted these, you know, really nice high-end homes, they built in those areas where now it literally has affected all of those other areas. So they can't build these big concrete doors. They can't build all of that infrastructure that would keep the water out of Houston, unfortunately. So Houston is totally different than some of the other areas that experience hurricanes on a regular basis. So you're saying to yourself, okay, what's different here? Well, we have the hurricanes that crisscross Florida on a regular basis, right? They come up the coast, they hit South Carolina, North Carolina. What's the difference? We don't see, if you'll notice in Florida, you just don't see the flooding. You don't see that problem. You'll have high wind, right? You'll have roofs pulling off. You'll have that kind of stuff happening. But they've got hurricane shutters and all those things are put in place. I lived in Orlando where we had 3 hurricanes crisscross, and sure, we were without power, but I didn't see hardly any flooding at all. I saw little pockets, you know, in an underground garage where I lived, in the apartment complex where I lived, there was a little bit of water that came in, but I'm talking a massive hurricane came through. And the flooding was kind of non-existent. I lived near a golf course, and the rain just sort of dissipated and went into the sandy soil and was channeled away. That's totally different than what we've seen in Houston, where this water has no place to go. And now it's just sitting there like a contaminated, toxic soup. Really, really sad situation. So let's talk a little bit about what's going to happen now in Houston. The really troubling thing is that there was already a contractor shortage in Houston. People, they didn't have the hammers being swung around that they should have had. So it was already a shortage of contractors in that area to just even do new construction and build, you know, new stuff or renovate properties. So now here's the major problem. That all of these apartments have been destroyed. All of these rental properties have been destroyed. There's no place for new contractors to come in from out of town. Where are they going to stay? Where are they going to sleep? So how is the federal government, and I asked this question of the general, how is this going to happen? How are you going to even get contractors to come in from other cities in order to help rebuild Houston? And the fact of the matter is, they're not. So a lot of these homes are going to have to be leveled, destroyed. Just, you know, the federal government may have to come in and try to either lift them up and spend a lot of money to try to lift up these properties or just level them because you're not going to be able to find the contractors to come in and do all of this work. So right now, there's been a shortage. We're not going to be able to get all of this stuff back up and running. Many people there didn't even have insurance. And this is the other big rub, that if a quarter of Houston's real estate got hit by Harvey, I think 90% or 85% of folks did not have flood insurance. So that's a huge problem. And they didn't have insurance, period, which is unbelievable. So what is flood insurance? And again, I don't want to go into all the details about flood insurance, but why this is so tricky is that flood insurance, it'll cover some storm damage from rain. But if your home is filled with water as a result of rising bodies of lakes or rivers or streams or oceans, it won't cover you. So what good is it, right? Well, the most common flood insurance is offered through the federally regulated program known as the National Flood Insurance Program. It was started during the 1960s. It coincided with us figuring out different FEMA flood zones in this country. And if you are buying a property and you're using a mortgage in order to close on the property, you are required, if you're in a flood zone, to get this insurance. Now, I personally don't buy properties in flood zones. I think all of the rental properties I have, they're not in a flood zone. And you can easily, when you're, you know, you would know that pretty much right away if you need to have that property, if you need to, when you're getting your insurance policy, you know, you may find out from your insurance provider, yes, I'm going to have to get flood insurance. They'll tell you, you know, flood zone, and they have all the different designations and the different mapping structure of the FEMA flood zone. So here's the thing. Is storm surge covered by flood insurance? Now, we saw so much of the storm surge inside of Hurricane Harvey. So now the hurricane coverage or named storm coverage only covers like the high wind, right? And the actual 160 mile an hour winds. But it won't cover all of the rain, or it won't cover the flooding, which is such, you know, it's a bunch of crap, let's be honest, right? So you can, this is what we saw with Katrina. So people didn't have insurance there, and then suddenly the levees broke. Well, it was related to the hurricane, but because it was from the levees, it didn't count under hurricane insurance. It didn't account under that kind of insurance. So all of these people were left holding the bag because they didn't have the right kind of insurance, or the insurance that they did have simply wouldn't cover them, right? Ridiculous. So homeowners insurance does not cover property damage from floods. So if you have just general homeowners insurance, it's not going to cover flooding. And private flood insurance can also be really expensive. So if you're going to fork over private flood insurance for properties that are in these flood zones, it can be expensive. I just don't know that it makes sense. We're seeing more and more of these hurricanes. We're seeing more and more of these named storms, and it can be a problem. So, you know, it's interesting and it's important for you to understand, you know, hurricane insurance, because it'd be a little tricky. So, for instance, private homeowner insurance does not cover flood damage, but it should cover any damage caused by hurricane winds. Many homeowners insurance policies have deductibles for hurricane damage that are separate from the general deductible for other damages. So, for instance, our house was hit in New Jersey from Superstorm Sandy. We had a bunch of shingles ripped off the roof. We had some rain that came in. We had to get some things fixed. We had a tree that came down and smashed our back deck. We were able, under our homeowners insurance policy, we paid a little bit of extra for that deductible that covered some of that hurricane damage, that Superstorm Sandy damage. So it is important for you to understand these designations. Is it important for you to then freak out about it and you know, start piling all kinds of extra insurance on top of what you currently have? No. So when we look at places like Indiana, where one of the reasons I love investing in places like that is that there's almost no flood zone at all in there, because it's one of those rare cities that was sort of built on top of an area that didn't have any navigable waterways. So, you know, you need to look at these different things. But again, when you're looking at places like Houston and you're saying to yourself, okay, I've seen now three of the same storms in like 4 years down there. I need to maybe rethink my investing strategy. That's a really important step for you to do. So there you go. That's a kind of a high level look at Houston and the flooding that unfolded there. Our hearts and prayers go out to all of those people. And we have definitely donated a bunch of money. If you're interested in donating money to help those individuals, check out Red Cross. They are the ones that are right there on the ground. I know, having been there looking at these floods, I've witnessed firsthand what the Red Cross has done. They do an amazing job being there on the ground. So go to redcross.org and donate some money to help these individuals out. They need food. Obviously, they need fresh water, and to try to pick up the pieces and see if we can actually help rebuild these communities there. It's a really tragic situation. So that is today's show. I wish we had better news to talk about, but this is a fact of life, trying to understand real estate investing and trying to understand where this, you know, flood insurance and how it all plays out, specifically in the Houston area. I'd love to hear your thoughts and comments about this. Please leave them in the comments thread below. We'll be back here with another episode this week as well. And thank you so much for subscribing and becoming a part of our investing in real estate community. Now go out there, take action, and don't let storms get in the way of you building passive income and creating legacy wealth for you and your family. Much love to you all.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.